Thank you all for coming to the Ledbury Poetry Festival competition winners event. And now I'm going to introduce the judge of the Ledbury Poetry Festival competition, Darren Rees-Jones.
Hello, everybody. This is such a thrill for me to be here and doing this. When Chloe asked me to judge the competition, I thought perhaps it was just for the adults, but it really has been brilliant to see the whole range of people writing poetry across the board. I think the youngest people here are 9 years of age, but some of those poems were even written when they were younger. I think one person's poem was written when he was seven, even. So I really think that this is an afternoon of huge congratulation and celebration. So the way we're going to do it is I'm going to announce each winner, and they're going to come up and read their poem and then get one of the prizes that we're awarding. But I'll say a few words before we start. Just thinking about this thing, I end up judging lots of competitions, and these boxes arrive full of paper, and it's a very moving experience. When you open a box of poems, you're opening a box full of potential delight, and you also enter, you step as your eye moves down the page into a moment in time, a story, a feeling, a translated moment from a life. And every poem you read takes you to another place, and that's one of the reasons it's so exciting and moving. One of the reasons that I love poetry is its variety, the fact that it can do complex things in simple ways, and it can also remind us that the thoughts and ideas that we might want to explore, to take hold of in our lives, might be tricky, might be difficult. Poetry can be a way of holding that difficulty still so that we can take a new look. And when you commit to poetry, and to do that is to simply write a poem, you're making a commitment, I think, to finding a way of thinking, feeling, speaking in a way that allows the poet, as well as the reader, to take part and pleasure in the ambiguities and possibilities of language. And it's in this sense that poetry really is the opposite of rhetoric. It does not teach, it does not seek to persuade, but it demands that we ask questions. And it asks questions, I think, that don't always have easy answers. I think poetry is a way of reaching across division and difference, and it offers us a different way of seeing. Kafka described literature as the axe which can break the frozen seas within us. Famously, he did that. But I also think that poetry itself can turn the axe into other things. It can be a needle and a thread. It can be a window, an open vista. It can be the bridge. It can be the view from the bridge. It can be the people who made the bridge. It can be two neurons firing up to make a new connection. And it's a place that allows us to open up ourselves to otherness and others as much as ourselves. I asked a very famous poet once if she thought that poetry was healing. And she answered, quite rightly, that it depended on what you thought was broken. I think in these times of uncertainty that poetry has to remember its importance, its intelligence, and its integrity. All of the poems that I read when I was judging this competition made me pause. They could surprise me, and they had a certain way of looking at the world that was as much communicated through image and form as it was through a deep musical sense. I was so pleased to go back to these poems. It's quite a long time since I judged this. This is the 2015 competition that we're awarding today. And I was just delighted that every one of those poems made me remember why I'd chosen it in the first place. So, without further ado, we're going to start with one of the youngest entrants in the competition, in the 11 years and under category, and it's a commended poem by the author, the poet, Rue Prince. So if you'd like to come up and read your poem.
April morning. Bitter blows the wind in the early April morning. Freezing gusts swing the branches. Sweet-scented blossoms sway in the sunlight. Soon sun starts to glaze the fields. Bitter breezes fade. I stroll in the dew. I spot three roe deer. Tilting my head, the deer startle. Leaving me, they sprint. Leaving me rooted, leaving me breathless.
Brilliant. One of the problems is you just want to steal those lines. Leaving me rooted, leaving me breathless. Brilliant. Okay, and the next person is Victor Nagira, who's also nine. Would you like to come up and read?
The magic box. I will put in the box. The swish of a waterfall touching the depths of a lake. Fire from a fireplace on a winter's night. The last Tudor house in England. I will put in the box a man with a risky life, a moon at day and sun at night. The last drop of water in the desert. I will put in the box a brown hair from a hopeful mammoth, a blue frame from the great fire, a faithful man standing up for his country in the war. My box is fashioned from fireworks, with plastic on the lid and surprises in the corners. Its hinges are the spine of a book. I will ski in my box on the White Alps.
Brilliant. That was such a beautiful poem because every stanza, every time you kept going into a new line, I didn't know where I was going, and that's one of the best things about a poem. You don't know what's going to happen next, so really congratulations. Next up is Kitty Prince, who's 11.
The cobweb. Handmade home. The spider carefully sews. A cobweb. Bent like the spine of a book. Unique shapes. A curtain for all things horrible, a wall within a gap.
Brilliant. I especially love that poem because it knows what to do with silence, which is something very special that a poem can do. And that last line, a wall within a gap, turns the world upside down. So, really well done. Ages are creeping up now, so I'd like to invite the absolutely ancient Inez Rossi, who's 12, to come and read her poem.
Deteriorates. Brisk breezes petrify me as the scratchy oak encased in fungus expels little black dots, dots that skitter down the Britannia blue stone, down the sharp blades of iridescent grass, up the layered translucent sole that leads to yellow stitches and a salmon mat surface. Little black dots entwine around my bones until I relocate and blow out the force field of vanilla silk oblongs. They disperse, the petals of yesterday's amber sun, in a wonder built whimsically, wisp by wisp, just to be blown away in a fraction of a second. A blossom of sunbeams deteriorates overnight into a tuft of snow.
Sometimes it's hard to know when to stop a poem, and that poem unfolds so beautifully, and you have that word deteriorates, which is another surprise right at the end. Really clever. So congratulations. Okay, now, moving up into the young people's category, Daniela Cugini is here to read her poem. You never know, of course, who's written these poems, and I know Daniela's work because she's been one of the Foyle's young poets a couple of times, I think. Okay, and I really, really admired this poem, and I certainly didn't think it was written by a young person. I just kept blinking when I read it. So we're delighted to have you here to come and read. Congratulations.
Obad. We bridge the space between us, music, radio, two cups and string. Anything to avoid the ruined geometry of ourselves. Weather's nice out. The leaves. Last night, the canaries woke up dead and we blamed geopolitics, twisted our mouths up and back, slept too clean. Now I siphon clamour off the kids in the park, anything to cut this piece. As you leave, I resist the urge to grab your shoulders, snap your healthy, contented jaw. How lithe we were as children. Please teach me to shiver again, grip and tear and burst up like a live thing. I clear plates, cold toast, bright balls of yolk, light enough to drown in, and we do.
I'm absolutely sure that you've got a book soon, and you'll be one of the old ladies of poetry before you can blink. Okay, so we now move into the adult section. There's two poets who are able to be here today, Nisha Baku and Rosie Shepherd. So, and I'm going to read the winning poem at the end of that, but if Nisha would like to come up and read hers now.
Five Throats. She owned five throats and had something stuck in each of them. She is imperfect, and it breaks me. Sitting there, stoned and cold, looking for look and distraction, she cleared her throat simultaneously, harmonizing with herself. Sound creeping onto my shoulders like a winter scarf. The edgeless street, no longer shy at night, no longer artless in heartbreak. I am imperfect, and it breaks me. No overdrawn lips, pure throat, just throat, with an evening scent of rain on the canal. She could slice bread with those high notes. I could slice bread with my thoughts. She got lost in her music, shutting her mind off at intervals, her song whistling along the wet concrete in yearness, notes rolling boldly like teenage eyes, heart in each note, heart in all five throats.
What I loved about that poem especially was that I thought, hang on, what's happening here? And I had to keep going back and seeing what was happening. Her heart in five throats, really beautiful. And it did that thing of asking us to question and disorienting us in such a special way. So thank you. And next is Rosie Shepherd.
There's something quite hostile about leaving a key in a glass jar, and something really hostile about leaving instructions on when the glass jar should be broken. So this poem's called Break. Thank you for leaving my books without shelves. I like the way they lean against each other, sometimes tumbling over onto my grandmother's kilim. I may leave them like that, strewn is the word, and I say it out loud and wonder if pressing words instead of flowers might qualify as one of the six activities I might use to diversify my mind. Tomorrow evening I will toy with square for the space left by my wolf dual fuel range. and the larger place where I shall install my new bed. And this makes me think of the word cherry, as a wood you conserve and I can now buy. Wire is a clueless question of a word, as it searches for some explanation behind each embarrassed copper thread that protrudes from the drawing room wall. And at protrude, I imagine your new lover and my new lights, and I am sad to think she has no fixtures and fittings, but wonder if this might explain certain uncertain aspects of her coordinated separates. Chaise is a fabulous word, and it's in the diary for Thursday, and it reminds me how grateful I am to you for removing mine, so that I am not forced to recall your groaning weight in it and your buttocks on it and the stains of herbal infusion that you swore would not mark the emerald Cecile and always, always did. I'm leaving jar for Friday, your bathroom door ajar and the jarring effect of your blinking on my concentration and your damn jam jar, with a spare key inside and a little label outside and your HB capitals in case of emergency. Thank you.
It's quite a scary poem. Really beautifully read as well, and such a spiky sense of uncertainty as to where we're coordinated and held so beautifully by all that furniture. So I really did love that poem. I'm going to read the last poem. One of the things to remember with this competition is that the competitors can come from all over the world. And the first prize was won by an American poet called Jane Satisfield. It's quite a complex poem. Again, it's one of those poems that made me think, what on earth do I do with this? What's this making me think or feel? And it's very complex in the way it's knotting up stories and ideas and images. And it's called Forfeit, and it has a little epigraph from Emily Bronte, which is from a diary paper dated July the 30th, 1845. And that epigraph reads, "Lost the hawk. Nero, which with the geese was given away, and is doubtless dead, for when I came back from Brussels, I inquired on all hands and could hear nothing of him. I know a hawk from a handsaw. And when Nero came crashing down from that wound, what wonder? I know a hawk, and the wind running armies over grasses, hedge, and path, the sky unfurled over a fever of fields, torn petals ferried on the stream, a hawk, handsome feathered, rescue won. I know a bite from a beak, and when the wanton spirit rises, nothing mournful opens. A day's walk, the weather fine, sunshine floating free. Bog and bracken, heather lit from within. I know hilltop, heath and stunted firs. Thought, silt and crow flowers rue. Thought and thought again. A proper letter I have never performed. There must be magic in my taming, cuffs and collars, the falls are fresh in mind. The hawk's wing beats rapid, can't connive a cage. When clipped, is stripped of dive and plummet, grip and tear, heart feathered, fettered, stutter or hop to hand. I thought of rumours, a remembered sketch, the talon here, the moment tamed. Sift the embers, scratch the metal. I am seldom troubled with nothing to do. I have no answers for extreme weather, a failing source of light. We are at home and likely to be, or walking out, I guess, if all goes well, towards the moor of time. I have no answers, but I knew him. Hawk, quick-witted, as questions in margins, as window clatter, when the clouds turn cool as iron ashed in the afternoon. For a while, a page's torn beauty, I could not countenance a flame. There we go. Very beautiful and tightly ordered and thought through, but also leaving us with lots of questions as well. So I think that brings us to the end. I think everybody should give everybody a big clap and congratulations again.
Hello everyone, I'm Philippa Slinger, I'm the manager of the Poetry Festival, and I just thought while you're here I could say a few words about the poetry competition. One of the questions I'm asked as manager is, do you work all year round or do you just start for the summer festival? And I do reassure people that yes, indeed we do work all year round, and one of the jobs that I have is to package up all the poetry competition entries and send them off to our judge for the year. And I would just like to take this opportunity to thank Darren Rees-Jones, because I know that she read each and every one of the over 1,000 entries we had in 2015. And the amount of heartfelt attention you gave to each and every one of those poems. So please let's thank Darren Rees-Jones for all of that. And I'd also like to say, with my manager's cap on, that to all the competition entrants and winners, this is not the end of your relationship with the festival. And if I can just give you a few examples of the continuing relationship that the festival has with its competition entrants and winners. Now, just off the top of my head, this year we've had Jacob Polley back as poet in residence. He was a winner back in the early 2000s. We've had Jonathan Edwards reappear this year as part of Avosopoulos Poets, and he was a winner 3 or 4 years ago. And we've had a continued relationship with him. Maitreya Bandhu has been back this year to lead a series of discussions in the Poetry East theme, and we work very closely with him. We have worked very closely with him. And the person who introduced this event, our very own Molly Davidson, was also a place getter several years ago in the young persons category of the poetry competition. So Molly is back as an intern. So don't forget, we will always love to see you back in any capacity and try and support you in your careers and in your development in any way we can. It is an important part of what the festival does all year round. It's part of the unseen work that we do all year round. So we do very much appreciate that you've gone to the trouble to enter your poems. We especially appreciate that you've made all the effort to be here today. And I think one of us has come all the way from America to be here. So thank you to Ines and to your parents for supporting you so beautifully to get you here. It's been a joy and a delight to have you here with us today. And we really appreciate that you've made the effort to be here. Thank you. And also, Darren mentioned Jane Satterfield. Unfortunately, Jane Satterfield was cancelled at the very last moment because she wasn't well enough to travel from America. She has a very poorly back. And we were going to give her a longer space to read more of her poems. So that's a bit of the gap I'm feeling in right now. But I did want to just say thank you very much to Darren, and thank you very much to all of you for being here, and to please leave the door open for a continued relationship with the festival. We will always be very, very glad to see you here. I would also like to say our appreciation to our major funder, and that is Arts Council England, without whose help and support we wouldn't be able to offer this development and this kind of opportunity to the new generation of writers. So thank you to Arts Council England, and thank you everyone for coming today. Thank you.